Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Hi there. Thanks for joining me. On this show, we're owning it. The bad, good, and yes, the ugly. After all, it's your journey. Sure, some played a role, maybe even a vital role. But in the end, the choices you made and the direction you took were all you. Even if you choose to follow instead of lead, your choice. You might think this show is going to be full of tired old journey cliches like, focus on the journey, not the destination. Joy is found not in finishing an activity, but in doing it. Or sometimes it's the journey that teaches you a lot about your destination. And even still, peace is a journey of 1,000 miles, and it must be taken one step at a time, and a million more. As nauseating as they can be at times, they are right. You're on it, my friend, whether you embrace the challenges, celebrate the successes, or just go along for the ride. You set out on your journey the day you were born, and well, we all know how it ends, but what you do in the meantime can give you a lifetime of love, learning, and joy. Ready to own it and see what's next? I think responsibility is an important attribute to have in life, personally and professionally. It's wonderful to have responsibility for things, people, and concepts, but also to demonstrate responsibility in your actions and thoughts. Owning your responsibility for choices and actions means confessing the reality of the situation to yourself and even to others. I see claiming it as the actual profession, and owning it is making space for the learning in your character makeup. I did it. It's mine. And here's how it's impacted my life and changed my behavior. Accepting responsibility doesn't include, yeah, but. Yeah, but can be that little degree of justification that can temporarily relieve you from the guilt, shame, and also the most important part, the learning. Well, I did it, yeah, but he also did it too, and she told me it was okay, or they wronged me and I had no choice. It's true, all of that may have influenced your choice, but that's not the exercise here. Owning your responsibility is. Dr. Steve Rose is an addiction counselor who gives us his insight on why responsibility is so important in our life on his website, stephenrosephd.com. I've been challenged with these questions in my own practice. What if the trauma you suffered was out of your control? How are you supposed to take responsibility? Well, Stephen says, if you've experienced trauma leading to mental health issues, you are not responsible for the problem, but you are responsible for being part of the solution. The same thing goes for hereditary illness. You're not responsible for the problem, but you are responsible for being part of the solution. Falling into a victim mindset only serves to strengthen the problem. So what is responsibility? Responsibility is the ability to respond. Not paralyzed by fear, plagued by anxiety, or procrastinating, pretending the problem doesn't exist. Responsibility means being prepared but not panicked. It requires planning but not perfectionistic plots to control the uncontrollable. Responsibility consists of accepting uncertainty, knowing you will do what you can control, and letting go of the things you cannot. Responsibility requires a response proportional to the problem, adapting to obstacles as they arise. The psychologist Jordan Peterson says that physical posture of responsibility is standing up straight with your shoulders back in 12 Rules for Life. To stand up straight with your shoulders back is to accept the terrible responsibility of life with eyes wide open. It means deciding to voluntarily transform the chaos of potential into the realities of habitual order. It means adopting the burden of self-conscious vulnerability and accepting the end of the unconscious paradise of childhood, where finitude and mortality are only dimly comprehended. It means willingly undertaking the sacrifices necessary to generate a productive and meaningful reality. It means acting to please God in the ancient language. So why is responsibility important? Well, it's important because it provides a sense of purpose, in addition to building resilience amidst adversity on an individual and societal level. Like an addiction, sidestepping responsibility may feel good in the short term, but leads to worse pain and suffering in the long term. A tiger metaphor by Stephen Hayes seems fitting, so here it is. Imagine you adopted a tiger cub into your home. It's cute, cuddly, and harmless. You notice it begins to purr loudly, and the only way you can make it stop is to feed it red meat. Over the months and years, you keep doing this, but the tiger is now several hundred pounds, requiring whole sides of beef. Rather than a cute purr, the tiger roars ferociously for its meat. You're terrified, so you keep giving him the meat so he will leave you alone. The more you feed it, the larger it gets, and the more trapped you become. In this metaphor, feeding the tiger symbolizes sidestepping your responsibilities. There is temporary relief, but the long-term cost is pretty substantial. Each time you avoid responsibility, you're feeding the tiger, making the problem larger, giving up long-term freedom and control. Why do people choose to become trapped in a troublesome tiger relation? Well, Jordan Peterson explains one potential reason. Sometimes, when people have a low opinion of their own worth, or perhaps when they refuse responsibility for their lives, they choose a new acquaintance of precisely the type who proved troublesome in the past. You know, like a magnet. Such people don't believe that they deserve any better, so they don't go looking for it. Maybe they don't want the trouble of better. Let's go deeper into how low self-worth prevents responsibility and look at how to build a sense of purpose through responsibility to oneself, one's family, and one's society. Avoiding responsibility destroys a sense of purpose. Purpose comes from a sense of contribution and connection to something larger than yourself. But first, it's necessary to take responsibility for yourself. By being the best version of you, you can be the most helpful to others. This requires taking care of your basic needs. In the recovery community, it's common to use the acronym HALT. Are you hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? Regularly check on your current state and address any deficiencies when appropriate. Another way to maintain self-responsibility is to organize the clutter in your physical environment and the chaos in your day-to-day life. Prioritize your sleep, nutrition, and exercise. If all this sounds overwhelming, start small. As Jordan Peterson says, clean your darn room. But he also says cleaning up your room involves cleaning up far more than your room, if you know what I mean. Doing something useful for yourself is the first step in reorienting yourself amidst the mental fog of purposelessness. As the fog begins to thin out, you can start to see beyond yourself. This leads to step two, being responsible within your family. Once you're adequately useful to yourself and can help from a place of genuine giving, you can be useful to others close to you. Genuine giving, because many people try to be useful to others without addressing their own needs first. This often results in codependent relationships where you do things for others to fill a lack of self-esteem in yourself. It's an experience of toxic shame where we constantly feel the need to prove ourselves and receive this external validation. This may feel like taking responsibility, but it's often unhelpful. And it just feeds that internal tiger, making underlying issues with self-worth. If you've worked through these personal areas and can re-engage close interpersonal relationships based on genuine heartfelt giving, well, you're on to the next step. Being responsible within the broader society. Now, this can happen in various ways. The key to maximizing your social responsibility is contributing in a way that fits your unique personal strengths. For example, if your strengths are working with people and you value compassion, developing and applying these strengths allow you to maximize your contribution to society. Finding alignment between your abilities and your role requires first knowing your strengths and then cultivating them. Not cultivating and applying your unique strengths doesn't just rob you of a sense of purpose, but it also robs the broader society of your potential contributions. See, you have a job to yourself first, then to everyone else. Although you may not be responsible for personal or social issues, you are still responsible for being part of the solution. Just like before, avoiding responsibility comes with a short-term gain at a long-term cost. Taking responsibility creates long-term resilience and a sense of purpose. This purpose can be fostered by taking responsibility for yourself by engaging in self-care. Don't you hear it all the time? Just take care of yourself. See, your journey involves more than just choosing a path, forging forward, tripping over flora and fauna, nursing your wounds, and praying for the end to come. You have a responsibility to yourself, to your family, and to all beings. When your parents nurtured you and encouraged you to walk, celebrating your curiosity for life, their wish was for you to be a kind and responsible human being. Between the lines was the thought that you would contribute in some great way, not that you would simply avoid conflict and make it out unscathed. So, no matter where you currently are on your journey, no matter how prepared or ill-prepared you've been, no matter how lost and off track your course may seem, you can turn it around. You can own your journey starting today. What you can't do is start over, and thank the good Lord for that, huh? Let's pull up a log on the path and cop a squat to get our wits about us. Better yet, let's climb up the hill to get a better vantage point. Hacking it out in the jungle is one way to get there, but first, scoping out the landscape to see what you're dealing with makes a little more sense. Okay, from up here, what do you see? Look out. On the ground, you can be overwhelmed with chaos, which can lead to indecision. But looking down, things look smaller and more manageable. Life slows down a little bit, and we have time to plot an appropriate path for us. Well, Jill Huettich gives us the roadmap to you. Find the best version of yourself in an article she wrote for WealthFit. I love her ideas on the importance of finding yourself and using that as a guide on your journey. All too often, we fall into a trap. We imagine that happiness lies outside ourselves. We think we'll find happiness like buried treasure in the right relationship, in a new home, in a better tax bracket. But what we're looking for isn't a partner or a raise or a big house. What you're looking for is yourself. The enjoyment we derive from external forces is fleeting. This causes us to flit from one possession, job, or relationship to another in search of whatever it is that will give us long-lasting happiness. But lasting happiness doesn't come from objects or status. It comes when you find yourself and start living authentically. Finding yourself means that you know who you are what you have to offer the world, and where your values lie. Isn't this what we're all trying to get to, a clear understanding of who we are? What would life look like once you found yourself? Get ready, this is the utopia. For one thing, you know your mind and don't need to consult with dozens of friends to come to a decision. You know what's important to you, and you let your internal compass be your guide. You feel comfortable in your own skin. While you may not love everything about yourself, you're okay with that. Although you continue to set goals and work toward them, you appreciate yourself for who and where you are in the moment. Because you know who you are, you know what you will or will not tolerate. As a result, you have solid boundaries and healthy relationships. You don't settle for less than you deserve. You understand exactly which qualities are important to you in a relationship, and you honor that. You feel deeply content with your life. While it may not be perfect, you feel pleased overall with where you are. Rather than feeling lost, you have a clear vision of the life you intend to lead, and you take the proper steps to make that intention a reality. You understand that life's a journey, not a destination, and you know you'll continue to grow and learn along the way. Finding yourself means that you know who you are, what you have to offer the world, and where your values lie. Man, wouldn't that be great? But you can't tackle the process of finding yourself on your own. So here are some steps you can take to find yourself. Look back to move forward. Finding yourself requires self-awareness and reflection. How can you know where you are now without examining the path you took to get there? Perhaps you already do this, and if you do, congratulations. Even if you aren't the type to dig deep, you'll find that doing some digging will reap tremendous rewards. There are some different ways to examine your past, but the most effective is reflection. Speaking to someone or writing about your journey can help you to build a stronger sense of who you are. Reflect. Reflection is a common practice in recovery circles. In order to fully heal, addicts must be able to identify the behaviors and experiences that led them to where they are. By identifying the behaviors holding them back, they can make lasting changes. This is why the fourth step in AA is conducting a search and fearless moral inventory. Your goal may not be to overcome an addiction to drugs or alcohol, but you can still derive benefit from doing this reflection exercise. To get started, think back on the major events in your life. Focus particularly on the very good and the very bad. Make a list, my favorite. Then ask yourself these questions. What happened? How did it make me feel? Are there reoccurring patterns or themes in my life? Are the areas of my life where I see myself as a victim? If so, can I reframe those situations to heal my bitterness? Are there areas of my life where I haven't consistently done my best? If so, what would I need to do to live up to my standards? Which parts of my life are going well? Which parts of my life would I like to improve? What changes do I need to make to see improvements in those areas? What are my primary values? How much time do I devote to those values? In thinking through your past, you'll begin to develop a stronger sense of who you are and what's important to you. And believe me, this knowledge is key to your growth. your past with compassion. When performing this type of self-inventory, it can be difficult not to be harsh on yourself. Avoid that temptation. Mistakes are a part of life. This exercise isn't about judging yourself. It's about developing a better sense of awareness so that you can make lasting improvements in your life. So when you're performing your moral inventory, remember the words of the author Maya Angelou. Do the best you can until you know better. Then, when you know better, do better. Rather than condemning your past behavior, vow to do things differently moving forward. This will keep your focus firmly on the future, allowing you to derive the greatest gains from this exercise. Act as if. When you find yourself, you'll develop real, lasting confidence. Real confidence can't be faked, and developing real confidence is a process. It won't just spring up overnight after doing a self-reflection exercise. It takes time to develop, just like any worthy goal. Fortunately, there's a shortcut that can speed up the process, acting as if. Essentially, acting as if is behaving as if you already are the person you're trying to become. Maybe you want to be more decisive. Act as if you're more decisive, and you'll actually become more decisive. Most people are plagued by self-defeating thoughts. Acting as if you already are who you want to be will prove to yourself that you can be that person. Perhaps the most dramatic evidence in favor of acting as if lies in research done by Harvard psychology professor Ellen Langer. In 1979, she recruited a group of elderly men to go on a week-long retreat. While there, they were told to act as if they were 20 years younger. To make it realistic, she surrounded the men with common objects found in the 1950s, a black and white TV, a vintage radio. The men were instructed to speak in their present tense without mentioning anything that occurred in 1959. The results were startling. Various psychological and physiological measurements were taken throughout the week. Within 1 week, several participants stopped using their canes. Langer also observed measurable improvements in dexterity, speed, memory, blood pressure, eyesight, and hearing. Now, these men didn't magically turn 50 years old again. By pretending they had, their bodies and minds experienced significant improvements. Remember this as you begin the process of finding yourself. At first, you may feel like you're not quite the person you want to be. But by acting as though you are, you'll advance rapidly towards becoming that person. How about discover your life purpose? I mean, isn't that what we're all looking for? Finding yourself requires a multifaceted approach. Reflecting on your journey and changing your behaviors are only two cogs in the complicated machine of self-discovery. Now, let's talk about your life's purpose. To really uncover who you are, you'll want to give consideration to your sense of purpose. Think about what motivates you and prepare for the future you envision. Uncover your motivation. When we think of motivation, we picture a mental drill sergeant driving us relentlessly toward a goal. But author and Navy SEAL Jacko Wilnick says that mindset is all wrong. Motivate doesn't mean to scream and yell and encourage. No, to motivate actually means to provide a motive, a reason why. It's important to uncover those reasons why, because once you do, you can determine, number one, if your actions align with your values, and number two, whether or not you're devoting enough time to your priorities. To find out what motivates you, start by thinking about something you want. Think of it now. Picture it. Go ahead. Now ask yourself, why do you want it? Ask yourself again. Ask yourself again until you get your deepest underlying motivators. Here's an example. You want a promotion. Your first step would be to ask yourself why you want it. Is it the money, the prestige, the responsibility? You decide it's the prestige. Now, why do you want the prestige? Maybe it's because you worry your job title isn't impressive enough. Maybe you feel you should have accomplished more by the age of 40. Maybe you believe your job is a reflection of your worth. The point of this exercise is to get to the things that really motivate you. Not only will these insights help you get to the root of your drive, but you can use them to choose goals that are worthy of your time and effort. One of my personal favorites, visualize your future. If you live aimlessly, you're en route to a lifetime of regrets. Instead, imagine the life you want to create for yourself. What would your ideal life look like, let's say 3 years from now? How about 10 years from now? Visualization is essential to your success. It prevents you from living aimlessly. To develop your vision, think about your short-term and your long-term goals. Create a clear picture in your mind of where you'll live, what will you be doing for a living, how your relationships look, which activities you'll participate in to feel fulfilled. Determine your golden rules. Finding yourself isn't just about self-reflection and visioning. It's also about having a strong sense of personal values and then adhering to them. To do that, you'll want to ask yourself questions like, what is my code of ethics? What values will I adhere to in all my interactions? What golden rules should govern my future decisions? Having a code of conduct is especially important. It will affect how you see yourself and how you interact with the world around you. The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. You may not have time to devote your entire life to a cause the way Gandhi did, but maintaining strong values and giving back to the world in whatever way you comfortably can to bolster your sense of purpose is so rewarding. Your reputation is a great place to start. Your values are crucial to building your reputation. Your reputation is one of your greatest personal assets. So much so that an entire market was built around Dale Carnegie's best-selling book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. In the book, Carnegie offers several principles to help create and maintain a good reputation, including don't criticize, condemn, or complain, and make the other person important and do it sincerely. Although Carnegie's book was first published in 1936, it sold over 15 million copies since. His hundreds of pages of advice can be boiled down to a simple message: your reputation matters. By making your reputation a priority, you'll have taken a giant step forward to finding yourself. Warren Buffett gets it. Renowned billionaire Warren Buffett understands the importance of reputation. In his role as CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, he's repeatedly told his executives, "Do nothing that you would not be happy to have an unfriendly but intelligent reporter write about on the front page of tomorrow's newspaper." Buffett understands that there is a premium on integrity. He once had his brokers acquire stock at a higher cost than the market price. The Securities and Exchange Commission launched a year-long investigation. They wondered, why would a successful businessman pay more than he had to in a business transaction? Integrity is a reputational advantage that others will weigh in subsequent dealings. Buffett explained that he was responsible for the stock taking a temporary dip in value. He had no obligation to buy those stocks above market price, but felt compelled to act in line with his values. He understood the long-term value of integrity. So as you begin to think about your own, and more importantly, who you long to become, consider the type of reputation you want. Let that guide your values and behavior. Get started today. It's worth it. There are few things more satisfying than finding yourself. But to do that, you need to act. So don't delay any longer. Examine who you are, what you value, and how you can improve. Then turn those insights into a roadmap for a better, brighter future. Although finding yourself requires a small investment of your time, it will yield huge dividends. What a great vantage point and fabulous insight. All these tools, even the ones you can't seem to fit in your tool belt today, are valuable. Let them take root in your subconscious so that when you need them, they'll be easy to recall. So once you've taken responsibility, really owned your role in where you are today, viewed your path from a different vantage point, uncovered the true you, it's time to forge forward. I mean, really, part of the preparation is in the doing. Yep, there is another meme-worthy cliche. Well, Bob McLanney made a life change when stuck at a crossroads, probably similar to where you might be. I want to share his former state and what he learned by forging forward in a new direction. This might resonate with you and give you some much needed perspective. It comes from The Four Lessons on How to Find the Right Direction in Life, an article he wrote for tinybuddha.com. Something just didn't feel right. I thought to myself as I walked into my house after a long commute from work, being greeted by my exhausted spouse who was trying to manage the kids after putting in a long day at her own job. Work hard, save money, buy a house, live happily ever after. The formula I grew up with didn't seem all that great anymore. Was it broken? I mean, I worked at a good job, but felt as though I was meant to do more. My stress and anxiety were heightened by the increasing uncertainty in my career, the unpredictability of events, and the complicated, fast nature of life, especially over the last few years. I became stuck, frozen, and paralyzed by the chaos of life and the work I felt all around me. With no reasonable approach apparent, I stood still, examining my life, overthinking all the various life paths in front of me. They presented a scary picture. Each path looked worse than the other, inhibiting any possible action I might take. As I was spinning down this spiral of anxiety, my life stagnated and I just felt hopeless. Then one day, I took an unexpected trip that changed my life and led me down an unpredictable path where I learned, adapted, and grew to understand myself better. It also led me toward a life purpose that was neither grand nor perfect, but it seemed to fit. It just made sense, and I discovered it by chance. Or was it by chance? Breathing fresh air into a stagnant soul, I felt alive again, traveling on a road despite the uncertainty existing around me. Over the last few years, through my journey of trying to figure out which path to follow, I learned a lot about those factors that led me to ultimately discover what I think I'm meant to do. As a result, I'm currently in the middle of a major life change, going from a 20-year corporate career to being an author, speaker, and career counselor. While I'm not sure how the next few years will go, I am at last open to new possibilities. So here are four lessons I learned on how to find the right direction in life. Number one, stop overthinking. So much of our stress and anxiety about the future stems from all the analysis and thinking we do as adults. We ask ourselves all sorts of questions. I recall countless nights lying awake, entertaining ideas, and wrestling with my soul. I tried so hard to figure out where I would end up that I often felt defeated before I even began. But all the overanalysis got me nowhere. It just burned more time. The reality is that no matter how smart we may be, we cannot predict the future. Things are moving so fast and we're so interconnected that it's impossible to predict where you'll end up even 5 years from now. You just don't know. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because you will not be basing your choice of direction on the forecast that's likely to be wrong. You'll be making your choice on what's really important to you right here, right now, not tomorrow. By recognizing and ultimately accepting the unpredictable nature of life, we can stop overthinking and overanalyzing and start living more in the present moment. This helps to open the mind up to the possibilities of today. Number two, try anything. Do something. When you take action and start doing things, you begin to feel better almost immediately. Instead of thinking about some far-off place in your head full of uncertainty, you'll be working on something that is really certain, your actions. So many times I got caught up in the chaos of life and was consumed by it until I realized that while I cannot control what will happen tomorrow, I can control the actions I take every single day. That's the real beauty of life. Knowing that you have absolute control over each of your thoughts, words, and actions. And by trying, moving, asking, engaging, experimenting, and walking forward, you're one step further than where you were yesterday. And you just never know where that one step will lead you. Number three, follow your inner voice. I used to feel that if I only knew more, I'd be able to make a better decision about the direction I wanted to take in my life. But as I dug deeper, trying to get more information, the hole got so deep that I found myself buried, confused, overwhelmed by so much information, some of it conflicting. I just didn't know what or whom to believe. Then I just let go. I let go of all evidence and started following my gut. I took chances. I took small steps forward, sometimes in the dark. I stumbled, fell, but got back up, and I went in a different direction. Then again and again and again, and as they say, the first step was the hardest, but eventually I found my way, not because some data point on a career chart showed me which way to go, but because I started to trust my inner voice. Sure, it was often wrong, but it got better eventually because I was out there doing and learning, not sitting and waiting. And number four, believe in yourself. When I first started exploring new opportunities to find the right direction in my life, I found myself overwhelmed by the competition. There were so many others just like me trying to do what I was doing. Turning to my friends didn't offer any respite because instead of encouraging me to try new avenues, some of them brought me back to where I began. Why don't you just be more pragmatic? With such seeds of self-doubt sown within me, it took me some time to recover my momentum. It was in the positive voices of so many others, in blogs, videos, social media, that I found encouragement to keep at it. It felt like those voices were talking to me. And in that positive lens, I found the light inside of me to bring forward the resiliency that until then had laid dormant. No longer suppressed by someone else's ideas of the way things ought to be, I continued on my newly discovered path. The more I focused on my own voice and the voices of encouraging friends, and the more I grew to believe in myself. Although, for some, finding the right direction might require the journey of a lifetime, I do believe there is one direction in which we're all meant to go: forward. By taking small steps each and every day, putting aside overthinking, and realizing that you have everything you need deep within, you can find the right direction in your life. And while it may not be the direction you expected, it will work out just fine. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they are not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit Encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you, reroute and re-engage on your journey to self-discovery. Own the bumps, pitfalls, and detours by taking responsibility for the choices you've made and responsibly using that learning to forge on. Clear a path to finding you and let that be your guide. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
Stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you. How I wound up here.